KGGF News Time, 7:40 on this Friday morning, and it's time to catch up with the latest from State Senator Virgil Peck. And good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. I appreciate the opportunity today. And by the way, for the listeners, I don't hear it promoted that often. Maybe it's promoted. I just miss it. But we're on Facebook Live. You can actually watch us.
That's right. Yeah. And it's also a good reminder that, of course, all of our interviews, if you miss it for some reason, whether you're busy or just outside the house or whatever, we do have both the audio version on the website and, of course, the stream version on Facebook. So if you miss an interview with Senator Peck, you can go watch it on your own time.
Well, that's not exactly what I was promoting there. yeah, it is something that is beneficial for myself, for example, when Representative Ron Bryce is on, or you can listen to Doug Blex, can't see him, but Representative Ron Bryce, you can see what he actually looks like. Very handsome, tall man. I say that because he's probably listening, and Ron will let me know what he thinks about my comments on that. But we've got several things going on. This is, of course, just 3 days before Christmas, and just a few minutes ago, you had a promotion for the Kansas City Chiefs. They will be playing on Christmas Day.
That's right.
Which I'm a big Chiefs fan, but we've also got a lot of bowl games going on as far as KU is in a bowl. This year, right after Christmas, they will be in the Guarantee Rate Bowl against UNLV. And so if you're a Kansas Jayhawk fan, or if you're not, go ahead and watch them because bowl games are always a lot of fun.
Right.
It's a couple teams that have a winning record, so they're not the really bad teams. Sometimes bowl games, though, just don't really reveal how teams match up. Mm-hmm. The scores can be ridiculous. K-State Wildcats, it's interesting to me, Shay, these names on some of these bowls.
Oh, I know.
It's like, where did we come up with these names?
And
are we that short on names? But the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Well, and the rumor is, I don't know how they're going to make this work, but the rumor is the winner of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, the mascot's going to be edible. And they want the winning team to take a bite out of the mascot. And I said, I don't know. I mean, if I'm, Avery Johnson, the quarterback at K-State, I don't care if I have 5 touchdowns. I don't know if I could bite a mascot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but they're playing on the 28th against North Carolina State. And then we've got a few listeners across the line, actually a lot of listeners across the line, and they have a team, I think it's a high school team called Oklahoma Sooners or something like that. Sometimes they play like a high school, but I know we've got a lot of OU fans listening, and some of them are saying, hey, wait a minute, don't disrespect. But anyway, OU will be playing in the Alamo Bowl in Arizona on the 28th as well. Don't have the times, but it's just this time of year is really fun for a lot of us, particularly sports fans, because we've got all the bowl games. Mm-hmm. We've got, of course, Christmas coming up where people will be traveling. People will be seeing family members. But before we get, I'm going to get back to Christmas here in just a little bit, but some things as it relates to legislative-wise, because this is loosely considered a legislative update today, but organizers of the World Cup activities in Kansas City, which won't happen until 2026, so it's a good 2.5 years away, they're asking the state of Kansas to pony up $25 to $30 million to help with the expenses and some of the sporting events, which basically the World Cup, that's soccer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That's the International Soccer Championship tournament. Yeah.
Okay. I knew you would know as a sports guy much better than I do, because soccer's not something that a lot of us watch, particularly those of us who are older, because we're more into American sports like football, basketball, baseball. But the World Cup, it'll be a big deal when you have teams from around the world coming to the United States, coming to the Kansas City area. But should we, as Kansas legislators, take $25 to $30 million of tax dollars and put them into this particular sporting event, which we'll decide on that, I guess, or someone will. But the matches will be at Arrowhead Stadium on GEHA Field. So it'll be not that far away. I did find it interesting that the organizers of the event, which, of course, they had to plan a long time ago to be able to host this, they had to demonstrate that there was a minimum of 55,000 motel or hotel rooms, within 2.5 hour radius of downtown Kansas City. Hmm. Well, that gets almost clear down here. 2.5 hours from Kansas City.
Right.
So 55,000 hotel rooms, which means that there will be a lot of money spent in the Midwest. Of course, Kansas City, 2.5 hours from Kansas City, you're going to be into Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. I guess those would be the four states.
Yep.
That would be within 2.5 hours. But anyway, they're asking for $25 to $30 million from the state. We'll see what we decide on that. But it is a big deal. We'll bring a lot of money into the state of Kansas and Missouri. I just haven't made a decision yet. If it comes to a vote, would I think that $25 to $30 million of taxpayer money to incentivize a World Cup to be here and provide some things, is that a good thing or not? I don't know. But if somebody's got thoughts, I'm always willing to hear what people think about that. Speaking of money and speaking of thoughts and good ideas, this one I got to scratch my head a little bit at, Shay. The Department of Wildlife and Parks, Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, is partnering with the National Wild Turkey Federation to provide $1 million of grant money to Kansas State University, go Cats, to better understand the habits of wild turkeys and why the population has declined in Kansas. Okay, $1.5 million to find out why the turkey population in Kansas has declined. I don't know that $1.5 million is going to be well spent. I'm thinking, and I know that I'm a country boy, but I'm thinking you give a couple country boys a couple $100,000 and say, hey, you got 6 months to tell us why the turkey population has declined in the state of Kansas, and they will travel the state talking to hunters and landowners. I believe they can come up with an answer, a whole lot less money. But that's one of those things we can talk about, we can complain about. But I guess, Shay, those are some of the things that me as a small government guy, I look at and say, okay, why is the government spending that kind of money? I think it is important to know about the turkey population. However, you're not near as old as I am. When I was a kid growing up in southeast Kansas, we never saw a turkey. Never, ever saw a turkey. We had a lot of quail. And we didn't have deer either, by the way. If you saw a deer, it was like, oh, that's a special thing. Now, they're all over everywhere, running into them. So things change, I guess, is my point. Turkeys apparently come and go. Armadillo, they're a nuisance. They dig holes in your yard.
Oh.
Make a mess.
Yep.
But so animals, wild animals, will migrate to certain areas, and I'm going to guess the turkey population is going to fluctuate, go up and go down. I'm guessing that bobcats, coyotes, other predators, coons, they will get a turkey, and so they will reduce the population. Plus, turkeys don't fly up into the air and lay nests or build nests in trees. Turkeys do fly. Wild turkeys do fly, not long distances necessarily. They spend most of their time on the ground. But anyway, I guess it's just, I had to scratch my head. $1.5 million to find out why the turkey population has declined in Kansas when I think we can do it a whole lot less money. And I realize it's research and it's beneficial to K-State students, hopefully, but I guess I thought I would throw that out. And then another thing as it relates to money, which this is something that I really think that the legislature most likely will look at enhancing or expanding, and that's the Kansas Education Enrichment Program, KEEP for short, K-E-E-P. This is money that the governor and the state finance council set aside from COVID money from the federal government, which we could discuss that a long time. Why is the federal government handing out all kinds of money for COVID? But the governor implemented a voucher program for students in the state of Kansas. And this voucher program provides $1,000 per student to pay for educational goods and services, tutoring, school supplies. Now, the voucher program is not eligible for private school tuition, just in case somebody's concerned about that. But the KEEP program, I think it was a good deal. I thought that the governor implementing this voucher program was actually a good thing for families at or below 300% of the federal poverty level could get $1,000 to help with expenses for these various things. I expect the legislature to look at that since it's been started, since it appears to be successful. And the reason I say it appears to be successful, We have received some 50,000 applications for that money, and that's from different families, and some families have more than one student, and so it's per child amount of money, but it helps parents with educational expenses for children, and honestly, I believe that probably makes it a little bit better for teachers to not have to come up with school supplies and so forth. The downside is, and this is something that frustrates me, it's in partnership with Merit International, which means you've got to go through this website, and I've had Shay, some people tell me, it's pretty cumbersome to try to get the information in. You got to go through certain hoops to be able to get the money. Mm-hmm. So it's got its positives, but I think we need to simplify it. And I personally would like to see us expand or continue this program going forward. But we shall see. But again, since Governor Kelly is the one that implemented the voucher program, the legislature might just look at the idea of moving forward with that. And then one more thing I'll mention, then I want to get back to a little bit more fun stuff for Christmas. Speaking of grant money and government spending, the United States Agency for International Development, again, we're talking K-State. They are providing some money to K-State to research the different varieties of sorghum and how they can develop a strain or a line that better tolerates drought. I found it interesting, some just brief statistics on sorghum in the state of Kansas. We have 3.3 million acres of sorghum grown in 2022. Won't have the 2023 information in yet. Kansas farmers produced in 2022 105 million bushels of sorghum. Now, the interesting thing is that is number one in the nation. Number one in the nation in Kansas. A good thing, I believe. And right behind us at number two is Texas. Well, Texas has a whole lot more land than the state of Kansas does. However, the 105 million acres or bushels of sorghum in Kansas is more than double what Texas grew. So that tells us that sorghum is really a big crop in the state of Kansas. Now, a country, Madagascar, has been a longtime grower of sorghum, but their production has been declining over the last 20 to 30 years, and they're moving sort of toward corn. But corn is a little bit more difficult to grow. And by the way, as it relates to sorghum, 50% of the sorghum grown is used as a food supply for humans. I don't know, Shay, if you've ever had sorghum like a syrup or not.
I want to say I have because it does ring a bell, but it's been a while if I have.
Okay, sometimes call it molasses, mm-hmm. But I remember as a kid, I was used to having syrup on my pancakes or waffles. Dad came up with this alternative to syrup. And I didn't really care for it.
Yeah.
It has a different flavor. But anyway, so now that is something that maybe is more beneficial to provide some money to Kansas State to do some research to develop a lot of sorghum that takes less water because we do have a limited water supply in our state. Now, before we came on the air, I gave you sort of a heads up, and I said that I had some information from Finance Buzz. Finance Buzz, I don't know anything about them, mm-hmm. But this is some information as it relates to Christmas songs. They looked at search results state by state by state as to what the most popular by search results song is in each state. And I don't know if you come up with a good answer as to what's the most popular song in the state of Kansas, but I thought, well, I'll throw it out and see if you want to make a guess.
Yeah, well, my first guess when we talked before this was White Christmas, and you told me that it's not the state of Kansas's top pick. So my thinking again, or thinking a little bit more about it, I guess I'd go a little bit more of a playful route then, and my next guess is going to be Frosty the Snowman.
Well, you're getting closer by going the playful route.
Okay.
The number one song for Kansas is Jingle Bells.
Okay.
And I thought, Jingle Bells, who thinks that's a great song? I mean, it's not a bad song, but interestingly, Montana and North Carolina, they also joined Kansas in Jingle Bells being the number one song, search-wise, a most popular song in the state. Now, in Oklahoma, they and Tennessee, so there's only two states, they don't go with White Christmas, but another color of Christmas. and it's an Elvis song.
Oh, okay. I got you. I was going to say, I was like, what other color of Christmas is there? And then you said Elvis, and it rung a bell.
Okay. There you go. I'll have a blue Christmas, but and I'm not going to sing that. But I found that interesting that just across the line, Oklahoma prefers Blue Christmas over Jingle Bells. On this one, I'm going to go a little more with Oklahoma.
I'd say I probably listen to Blue Christmas a little more. I don't dislike Jingle Bells, but like you said, it's just not one that I'd think of as my favorite.
It's one
you hear, but it's not one that I consider to, you know, a must listen.
A little more of a juvenile or younger song, if you will.
Right.
Now, there's a state to the southeast of Kansas called Arkansas. Arkansas. Sorry for those who. But their favorite song I found interesting, Run Rudolph Run. Well, lots of things could be said about that. Rudolph being a deer, and a lot of hillbillies in Arkansas. No disrespect, because I consider myself right along that line. And then our neighbors to the east, the Show Me State, their song I kind of like, really, as the number one song for Christmas. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, was Missouri, which they joined West Virginia, Washington, and Arizona. Now, the song that had the most states say that it was the most popular, most highly searched, is All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I like it when my wife sings that to me, because that means I don't have to go spend money. But that's a whole other topic. But Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, that was the top song for them. And I found it interesting that a lot of these songs, I mean, a lot of these states, they're all east of Kansas, but a lot of them are in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
All I Want for Christmas Is You would be the probably most popular song, according to Finance Buzz and their search results, in the United States. Now, on the other side of the coin, I ask you ahead of time, and what is the 10 most annoying Christmas songs, the top 10 most annoying Christmas songs, and I found your answer interesting. You remember what you said?
Yes, I said, you know, it's actually a good song, but it's just so overplayed. So I said, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Okay, yeah, you said that. I found that interesting that All I Want for Christmas Is You was the number one song in several states, but it also made the list as the most annoying Christmas song. So you were spot on. All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey.
I think those results just sum up exactly what I was thinking. Good song, people like it, but man, do you hear it a lot.
Yeah. And I guess that's from the reason it becomes annoying, because you hear it a lot.
Right.
Now, as far as other annoying songs, do you want to throw out some that you think could probably be on the annoying list, top 10?
Oh, man, I don't know if I'd know where to go with this.
Okay, well, think juvenile for some of these.
Okay. Jingle Bell Rock, is that on there?
No, it's not. The number two, just to sort of help get the juices flowing as far as thinking, is the Chipmunks.
Oh, that makes sense.
Chipmunk song, you know, sang by Alvin and the Chipmunks, Christmas Don't Be Late, but the Chipmunk song. And then Feliz Navidad, I didn't realize that. I thought that was a Spanish song or something, but that's number three most annoying.
Really?
And then Burl Ives sings a song. And you got to be a little older maybe to know who Burl Ives is, but he sings Have a Holly Jolly Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Number four. And then is it Bing Crosby that sings a song about the temperature outside?
Yeah.
Maybe it's cold outside. I found it interesting that Deck the Halls is considered an annoying Christmas song.
Interesting.
I don't consider it annoying, but it came in at number six. And then number eight, I'm skipping number seven because I don't even know what Happy Xmas, War Is Over is by Justice Lemon. But number eight I found honestly disappointing. I guess it's because I like this song.
Yeah.
And that's White Christmas. I don't know why that would be considered an annoying song. And then Wonderful Christmas Time, Paul McCartney singing that. That's number nine. And then number 10, which I guess it's because it's a faith song, I found it a little bit disappointing that it was on the most annoying list. And that's Do You Hear What I Hear?
Oh.
So wrapping up a little bit of Christmas because it is that time of year. It's right. Festive and people will be traveling. We will not have a white Christmas according to the forecast you gave earlier.
No, we will not. We will actually have a record high.
Pretty close to that. But I want everyone to enjoy Christmas, celebrate with family. Remember, Christmas is, of course, about the Christ child, the gift that was given to mankind. And just enjoy the time. Drive careful. Drive safe. Shouldn't have any travel problems as far as ice or snow here in the Midwest, but there may be a fair amount of rain, so that means slow down a little bit.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Senator, and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you and to all the listeners. Appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate it. We got a check of news on the way here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.